Lucy, what is this? What's this book that you've bought?
I don't know. I think it's some sort of, like, little self-help book. My friend, like, forced me to buy it.
Okay, forced you to buy it. And have you read this self-help book?
No, we're back.
Oh, you're supposed to get any help then?
Dear. Whatever dear it is right now. Time. Whatever time it is right now. Here's Luke.
Hello.
She's Lucy.
Hiya.
This is Luke and Lucy FM. What's on this week's episode?
It's the one where we are hired with Ricky Martin. We're talking all things Apprentice, not Ricky Martin the singer. We're talking all things Apprentice from the TV show, behind the scenes, and asking Ricky what it was like to not only be on the show, but to win and get hired from Lord Sugar.
I get a feeling it's going to be a riot.
Oh, we definitely hope it is. Hello, and welcome to Luke and Lucy FM, the podcast where we discuss a different topic each week, and the topic can range from literally anything, from Yorkshire puddings to The Apprentice. We've not done an episode about Yorkshire puddings.
We've not. Maybe that could be our next one.
We've done one about pies.
We have done one about pies.
We spoke to a world pie-eating champion. If you've not checked that out, honestly, it's a remarkable episode of the podcast. Please do just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes or go to audioboom.com/channel/Luke and Lucy FM.
Makes me feel really hungry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's the thing, the pies. It was a great episode. Right, honestly, please go and check that out. Please do. And if you need some advice on where to find it, just tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. We'll point in the right direction. Hello, I'm Luke Marsden. And a true fact about me, regarding food actually, right, is this week, for the first time in my life, I tried cauliflower steak.
Cauliflower steak? What is that?
Turns out, Lucy, it is just cauliflower in the shape of steak. Herd, rock herd cauliflower.
Did you put cheese on it?
No, it was like a peppercorn sauce. So it's pretty much exactly...
peppercorn sauce on it?
It's pretty much exactly how you'd have a steak, but it was cauliflower.
That's so weird.
It was vile.
Nice?
It was absolutely vile.
I quite like cauliflower, though. I feel like I'd enjoy that.
I think you'd love that, because you strike me as into these weird, sort of, like, quirky...
Cauliflower
steaks. So it was revolting. So if anybody has actually had cauliflower steak before and thought the same thing as me, my heart goes out to you.
I didn't even think that was a thing.
I didn't until I put it in my mouth and practically regurgitated it. And you know...
But I bet it's not, like, even nice, soft cauliflower, but
rock-herd,
it was
really.
Like,
and you know when you have those foods where it repeats on you all day?
Did I even taste a bit of steak?
There was no steak. It was just cauliflower. It was rock-herd cauliflower.
With peppercorn sauce.
And I was kind of burping all day because...
Ew.
I'm sorry.
Need to know about that.
We need a true fact about you then, Lucy Hilton.
Okay, I guess a true fact about me, I'm a little bit obsessed with mulled wine at the minute. I've been to the Christmas markets like 3 times already this week.
Really?
Not even a week, in like 5 days.
Okay, so you're a bit of an alky then?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think mulled wine as like alcoholic as normal wine.
Did you get tipsy off mulled wine?
Well, not really. Like, I had 4 one evening and I felt fine. A little bit tipsy, nothing major. Whereas if I'd had 4 glasses, I'd be like on my ass.
Oh, wow.
However,
on the floor.
I did go and there's like a little Christmas dome where I work, like in the piazza bit.
So we discussed this last episode of Piazza,
Let's not go
Still
into
don't know
again.
What a piazza is.
So went there for my lunch the other, I had a mulled wine, liquid lunch, the other day. And
your lunch was a mulled wine?
Yeah, went back to the office. I was actually really tipsy.
It's because you're not eating any food.
So was you quite
giddy in the office then?
Yeah.
My heart goes out to your colleagues because I know what you're like after a few drinks. Unbearable.
I'm really funny after a few drinks.
Funny you should mention the office though, because actually this episode is kind of about being in
the
that
office.
Environment, the working environment, being in an office. It is about the TV show The Apprentice. Now here in the UK, it's currently on another series. I think it's like series 15 or 16 here in the UK now. Something like that. Something like that.
Sugar going into overdrive there.
Exactly. And then obviously it was massive in America, and it was Donald Trump, who, of course, we all know about Donald Trump.
Was he the Lord Sugar in
He was the Lord Sugar. He was before, it started before Lord Sugar as well. So Donald Trump, and now it's going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger as the new, Lord Sugar.
I'd rather have Arnie.
And we kind of thought The Apprentice would be a great time. It's on in the UK, and it'd be a great time to kind of dig deep into the show and kind of all about it, because it's one of the most, if not the most serious reality show.
Check him.
Well, of course it is, Lucy. At the end of the day, the winner has to work with Lord Sugar. And if you don't know who he is, please do Google him and you'll see he's an entrepreneur.
He's a millionaire.
He's a multimillionaire. Probably bit. I think he said to Piers Morgan once he could write a cheque for 100 million and he wouldn't really bat an eyelid.
Oh, wow.
I know. Just short of what we get paid for this podcast.
Why doesn't he write a cheque to me?
I don't
think
so.
For 100 million.
What will you do to him for 100 million?
What would I want?
Yeah. You know what I said. And Lord Sugar, and that's the thing. So he basically, the format is the 16 candidates all vying for his attention and
he's
his job.
It's a little bit silly, though. Do you not think?
What, the different tasks and everything?
Yeah,
do you think so?
I've watched it a few times. I'm not an avid watcher. However, the few times I have watched it, I find it a bit silly. They're all really a little bit pathetic, the way they compete with each other.
Well, the thing is, though, Lucy, at the end of the day, back when the show started, it was called The Apprentice because he took on an apprentice and you got to learn from him and take a job. Then he realised, in fact, he was quoted as saying that, frankly, he couldn't keep giving people jobs. He had to create positions.
Oh, right,
and,
okay.
And the employees in his companies were getting disgruntled at the fact that these people just waltzed in after 16 weeks.
Yeah, you would do, to be fair.
So
and they've probably tried really hard to get a job.
To work the way up and to catch the attention of Lord Sugar. By the way, I want to point out Sir Alan. He was made a Lord as the series went on.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was Sir Alan when it first started. And, you know, he kind of decided that to change the format of the show. Now, bearing in mind, he's a multimillionaire, so waives his fee. He donates his fee for the show to charity.
Does he?
Yes, it's very good of him, right?
Wow,
he doesn't need the money.
What a little babe.
He does it because he likes businesses.
He
likes new ideas.
He does it for the good of England.
And the TV ratings. And he obviously now decides to put £250,000 and goes 50-50 into a business with a candidate.
Oh, really?
And that's even though it's still called The Apprentice, technically it's not correct.
That's
but
interesting.
Anyway, I suppose he's still the mentor.
I think I should go on there. I think I could win.
You see, I actually think, Lucy, I bet in a business suit you don't look too bad. Get some high heels on. I've seen your corporate attire for work. But, Lucy, what you need, though, because obviously apprentice candidates are famed, Lucy, for having really snappy lines, really snappy, witty comments to say about themselves. Have you got any snappy, witty comments to say?
I'd have to think about it.
I'll give you an example of some of the comments that they've had. In Series 4, Jennifer Maguire said, as a salesperson, I would consider myself the best salesperson in Europe.
Oh, wow. So that's supposed to be the snappy, witty comment. Just like me saying, I am the best salesperson in the whole world.
You're the best radio presenter in Wigan. Still not true. Rafe Bijou, who I've met previously, a very posh candidate on Series 4, The Apprentice, says, the spoken word is my tool.
Ooh, the written word is my tool.
Oh, dear. You're not a journalist anymore, so no, it's not. Ben Clark, Series 5, said, I'm a natural born leader. Sandhurst, he was in the air, mate, clearly saw that in me. Series 6, Melissa said, I can sell ice to Eskimos.
Ice to Eskimos.
And series 6 again, Stuart Baggs, OIP, a candidate, unfortunately
died.
Did you not know he died?
No, that's
he died
such a
years
shame.
Ago, and I'd spoken to him, not when he died.
Oh,
but,
well, obviously.
Yeah,
or did you contact him via a Ouija board?
Yeah, no, we're not going down that route. Check out the episode where we had a psychic in the studio, by the way, Medium, sorry. Check that out. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. Stuart Baggs, and he said, everything I touch turns to sold.
Turns to sold.
Another.
So do you have to be a salesman then?
You have to.
No,
you can
this.
Be a digital marketeer. They've had social media people on there.
Okay.
You as your
could
PR background, could be a candidate, Lucy. So let's say we were building an apprentice profile for you. What would you say, like, for example, to impress Lord Sugar, how would you sum yourself up, Lucy Hilton, in a sentence?
I could charm the most uncharmable person.
Are you joking? You've been single for 10 years. How have you charmed anybody?
That got to do with it?
Well, you've not charmed any lads, so
that's gone over the line.
No, I don't.
There was
a
line there.
I don't think it is.
You just jumped right over it.
You need to do a better
line. So far, over the line.
Try another.
You're in Antarctica.
Oh, dear. Well, it is freezing in the studio. Lucy, why don't you try a different line? Give us another shot at it.
Oh, no. I need to think about it properly.
So talk about your journalism.
Could talk about the postbox shagger.
How the heck would Lord Sugar be impressed that you wrote a story and a guy shagged a postbox?
I don't think anyone wouldn't be impressed at
16
that.
Candidates, one postbox shagging story. The search for Lord Sugar's apprentice continues.
I think I would win purely from that.
I don't think you'd win purely on that, Lucy. I really don't think you'd win on that. But you know what, though? What does it take to become Lord Sugar's Apprentice to beat 15 other candidates. What does it take to really get that investment off Lord Sugar and frankly turn your life around? £250,000, 50-50 split with a guy who's got multi-millions, you could pretty much do a great series.
So. I reckon you know, me and Lord would be...
You and Shugsy.
The business would be the biggest business in the world.
Yeah, no, absolutely,
like,
yeah.
I think
what's your
be...
business idea? Because you need a business idea in this series of The Apprentice. You need to come up with a business plan.
I'd like make some form of like portable heater which goes around your body, which means you can like, but it's like invisible.
Wow,
so
right.
So you can be permanently cosy and warm in winter without piling the layers on.
Called central heating.
No, not outside though.
It's called the hot water bottle.
So it's like
bottle.
Central heating outside. It's like central heating.
So it's like the sun in another country. It's like warmth.
Yes. Like on ya.
They've called it an airplane,
like,
Lucy. You get on it
time.
And you go on holiday. That's the solution to that. Lord Sugar says you're fired.
No, right. No way. I win this program.
We are
Isn't
gonna.
Isn't that like Dragon's Den though? Anyway, trying to sell that.
No, that's an idea though, Lucy. This is a business pitch and a 50-50 apprenticeship. We need to get somebody on from Dragon's Den. That's a future episode. But we want to know what it takes to impress Lord Sugar. What it takes to win the Apprentice, because we aren't winners, but we need one on the phone on Luke
I
and Lucy
think
FM.
We're
not winners. Are you ready, Lucy? On the phone now, a man who knows what it's like to win, unlike you and I, a man who managed to bag himself £250,000 investment,
wow.
And a man who was not living de vida loca, because when we say his name, they're going to get confused. On the phone now, it's Apprentice winner Ricky Mertin. Hello, Ricky. Welcome to Luke and Lucy FM.
Thanks for having me. Hello to you both.
Hello.
So, Ricky, do you get confused when you say your name? Do people would make that awful living de vida loca joke?
Immediately, you say it, and then somebody looks back at you if you're speaking to them, or if you're on the phone, they question it. If they say, I know that name, and then 9 times out of 10 I quickly turn around and say I'm not living the vida loca, I don't have black cats, and I don't have voodoo dolls,
and you're not married to a man. Still...
I used to love that song.
Well, do you know what, he just got engaged.
Has he?
And I've had about 1500 tweets messaging me to congratulate me for my engagement.
That is absolutely brilliant. I mean, I'm just going to say it on behalf of Luke and Lucy FM, congrats on your engagement, Ricky. We're really pleased for you.
Can we have an invite to the wedding, please?
I think it's fab. So, Ricky, I mean, you won The Apprentice 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
So in 2000...
No, 4 years ago.
Wow, Wikipedia's wrong. So you won it in 2012?
That's correct.
Wow, so does that seem like a bit of a lifetime ago now? Because you must have evolved in the company and everything so much.
It's completely... It almost feels like it's a different me. Because, I mean, the best thing about it being 4 years ago is I can now watch the programme again and sit back as a viewer laughing, enjoying... having comments saying I could do it better than them. I'm back to being what I was before I went on it. But equally, it's been the best 4 years of my life ever since.
Really? I mean, that's absolutely remarkable. So, I mean, before let's take you back. Let's take you back then, before 4 years ago. Let's take you back to when you, Ricky Mertin, were actually a wrestler.
A wrestler?
Oh, Lucy's perked up now, and we've mentioned men in speedos. She's perked up.
Was you a wrestler?
Yeah, so I, outside of my day life, so by day I worked in recruitment, and by evening I worked in my spandex.
Wow!
So,
like Lucy, really.
It kept me going for quite a few years, that's for sure. I always had one of those dreams. I did it because I love to do the wrestling.
Obviously.
And I always thought, you know what? I'd love to go mainstream. I'd love to go to the US. And at the same
time,
at the same time as I had the contract for The Apprentice, I was also offered my tryout for the WWE. And I was like, I've now got a decision in which way my life goes.
Oh,
right.
Oh, wow.
4 years ago, that decision came up and I certainly chose the right path.
You wrestled with this decision.
You could be like the next Rock, though, or Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Do you know what? I'd be the next Rock any day of the week if I did.
The thing is, though, Ricky, do you ever have moments now where you think, could I have been there? Could I have been with Vince McMahon? Could I have been at SummerSlam or WrestleMania?
I won't lie. Every day. Every single day. When all of my friends are still doing it. And I've got a lot of friends actually now wrestling the WWE and they're on the main cards and I keep in contact with them. And it's just like, wow, what a life that is. But it's an unsustainable life. I mean, I'm an average guy. I mean, I think at the time I'm about 6'1" and at the time I was about 16, 17 stones. I was in good shape. But to be on the headlines there, you need to be 18, 19, 20 stone and 6'6". So genetically, I was always like, I'm never going to be that Rock or Stone Cold based upon my genetics. So I kind of just sit back and think, I'm glad I've done this because I'm not going to die young now doing what I do.
Exactly. At least if you die now, you'll be in an office and not in a ring on TV.
Exactly. exactly that. I've had more clothes covering me up.
So you want to go for
that's
your
plane? That's a
shame. Lucy's just Googled you. So you decided to go for your apprentice. Why though? So obviously you went for the WWE, but why would you decide then to go to your apprentice? Did you think, I have got this idea? Because obviously you would have applied for it when it wasn't getting hired as an apprentice, but it was a business idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always watched it and I always loved the competition. I always used to think, I can do that, I'd love to do it and I'd love to win it. But at the time, it used to just be you get a job at the end. And I'm like, well, I didn't want a job because put the wrestling to one side. I worked in recruitment for 6 years before The Apprentice and I loved what I did. I'm like, so the process as it was before wasn't fit for purpose. It didn't have the outcome I wanted. But the moment they change it to a business investment, I was like, now's my time. I'd wanted to get this business off the ground. I mean, what a lot of people don't know about me as well is I'm actually a biochemist. I studied to be a biochemist as a scientist. I mean, love science and I wanted to help people and change life. And in recruitment, it might sound like a big thing to say, I actually get to do that because I get to help other scientists get jobs where they can actually save lives. So
look at that, Lucy, saving lives by not having to lift a finger, really. I mean, you can just a click of a mouse, you've saved a life, Ricky.
Exactly. So I thought I wanted to set up a business where it gave me the opportunity to do that. And when they reformatted the process of The Apprentice, I was like, now is my time. I didn't think they'd buy it. I thought they'd say, oh, it's recruitment, it's boring. That's my honest opinion. Lord Sugar had never been in a service business. It's always about products and selling things, whereas I provide consultancy services. So I always thought everything was stacked against me. But like anyone, I'm like, well, do you know what? You've got to buy a ticket to win the lottery. Why not give it a go?
That is true. Very true.
And you beat, obviously, 15 other candidates to 16. So, yeah, 15 other candidates to win The Apprentice. The entire process, then, it's different to what we see on TV. It's a longer process.
It is. So it is 12 weeks. I mean, most people think that when they see it on TV that you've gone for a jolly for a day, you've had a boardroom, someone's gone, and then you've got the week off and you start again for a day or two the week after. It's an incredibly intense process. I mean, I went in and they're like, are you used to working hard? I'm like, yeah, I work long days. I said, but are you really used to working long days? I'm like, yes, of course I am. It didn't prepare me for what it really would, the reality. You're up at 5 a.m, you're probably getting back to the house at midnight.
Oh.
You're not getting much sleep and you can't switch off because you're living and breathing this process.
Mm.
And it's literally, I think we got, at best, half a day off a week.
Oh, great.
So, jeez, what do you do in that half a day then?
Sleep.
Probably try and just feel like you're a bit sane again and try and get some rest. And it's hard. And anyone who goes into it, I would say, at the end of day one, I was up for about 36 hours and I looked in the mirror and I said, how on earth am I going to get to the end of this? And I thought I worked hard. I kind of worked my recruitment job. I did wrestling. I was always busy every day of the week. And I'm like, after 36 hours, I was questioning, can I get to the end of this? And I kind of looked back and thought, who won it last? Well, that guy, I think I'm stronger than those people. So do you know what? I can keep doing it. But so many times I questioned it. It's harder than anyone looks. You laugh at it, you joke at it. But the 1 hour everyone sees on TV is entertainment. There's actually about 400 plus hours of hard graft that gets there.
Lucy, you're exhausted even just listening to
I
all
am
that.
To be, I can't handle not sleeping.
Lucy,
well, you are up early, so, you know, you're used to it.
I know, but I'd go for a nap afterwards, so.
Yeah, you couldn't nap in the boardroom, could you?
No, not
nap
at all.
In the boardroom.
I mean, for you then, Ricky, because obviously, you know, and you go on a reality show, you know, I've got a bit of experience in that, and you go on, and you think, is it a journey? You know, you hear these stupid, awful clichés. Is it a journey? Do you discover a new version of yourself?
But do you go find yourself?
Exactly. But in this sense, with you, you actually, not only is it a journey and all that nonsense, you actually get a serious cold-hard cash investment and it could set you up for the rest of your life and even generations to come.
Well, that's what people don't realise. I think you're exactly right. I mean, anything that's had a reality context, people are a bit sceptical of it and they don't think about what happens in life after. I mean, for me, I wanted the money to set up a business. And actually, this is where, I mean, I know Lord Sugar's raised it. I've certainly raised it. This is where I think they should do more to say, OK, what's life been like for the business partners post the process?
I think that's exactly what this is. Some sort of spin-off or a following of life. Because you don't see that much of it. You just assume that they are successful.
Mm.
It's exactly that. I mean, they did a programme for Dragon's Den this year. And because it's BBC, it's always like, well, you can't product promote. But at the same time, it's not. It's looking at the whole point of The Apprentice is to inspire enterprise into the nation. And if they can show that there's a real outcome, there's a real success. I mean, over the next year, we plan to hit our £10 million milestone.
Wow.
Not many people know that we've generated £10 million worth of sales and actually changed the life of thousands of people with their careers. There's some real tangible outcomes that not enough people know about.
Absolutely. And this is the thing, though, Lucy. I mean, did you have a clue about any of that?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Lucy's...
Just like, so do you still... You don't still work with Lord Sugar, do you? It's just all...
Yeah, so we... He still... So, well, interestingly, we every 4 to 6 weeks, we will sit down and have a real board meeting, a non-televised board meeting about the reality of the business. And it's not a you're fired moment whatsoever, but it's still, I'm presenting what we've done over the business in the last 6 months, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Setting up what my expectations are for the next 6 weeks. And at that stage, we have a real life conversation about what things could be like. So ironically, we had the board meeting the morning after he just fired someone on TV. So
oh,
it's just
wow.
like, well, you know what? I watched that on TV one evening and I sit in it the next morning.
With him. I mean, what's he like in a non-televised board meeting?
Is he nice? I think he'd be really nice in real life.
He is. I think the honest answer, and I'd share this with anyone, is he is exactly the same as you see on the TV. And that's why he's so good with the programme. There's no character he plays. There's no fakeness about him. It works for me because sometimes I work in a sales environment and a lot of people will tell you everything's great and you walk out the room and they'll slag you off when you leave the room. At least when you're with him, it's black and white. You know where you stand and that's helpful. But also, we're not quibbling about spelling a word wrong for a product that we were promoting that we knew nothing about and we didn't have the dictionary to check it up. There's never anything you can pull up because I actually have real time to make decisions on certain things.
Exactly.
And interestingly, I mean, I've now been in recruitment for well over 10 years. I mean, I know the field better than Lord Sugar, so actually it's the field that I know so much about.
Who is Lord Sugar?
I never use those words. But
no, you'd be fired then. I mean, so is he, how does it work? Is he just an advisor to the company now, or does he still continue the 50-50 partnership?
Yeah, so we still got that. I mean, it was a real partnership. It turned up, we signed shareholder contract, money went into a bank, which we both have access to use it for the business purposes. And
wow.
Very much, he's what I would call a typical investor. Because when he hired me, I did say, look, if you're going to invest and tell me how to do it every single day, I'm an employee and it's counterproductive to what I want to create because I want to create something I care about. Said, but if you're going to put money and leave me to it, I said, it will work. He said, you don't get this, Ricky. He goes, I'm an investor. I give you the money, it's yours. You lose it, it's gone. I don't really care. You've ruined it.
Wow.
I give you the money, it's yours to grow. I'm not going to be doing the work. That's why I've hired you. You're doing the work.
Yeah, so, he just wants a return on his investments.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly that. So essentially, he's put the money in and he just leaves it to me, and fortunately, it's going really well.
I mean, yeah, so we take it he'll not be pulling out of his investment. He's very pleased with how things are going.
Exactly that. I mean, it's growing year on year. It's profitable. We've got over 25 employees. We've got a number of consultants and contractors across the country working for us. There'd be no reason for him to want to get out of the organisation. That's essentially made him a heck of a lot more money than he actually invested into it. So,
oh, Ricky, so, I mean, what would you say to somebody listening to this right now? For example, Lucy, before we got you on the phone, Lucy said she potentially would think about The Apprentice in the future. I mean, you know, she's no business idea, but so somebody listening to this now, would you advise them to...
I can do it.
They have to have an idea. Like Lucy hasn't got a clue of an idea what she'd come up with.
You have to have an idea. I mean, now it's a business partnership. You can't just go in there thinking it'll be a great experience. Let's see how I get on and if I can wing a business off the back of it, great. The reason I got invested into is because the business that I've got is my baby and I wanted that baby to be created and I just needed someone to back me to do that. That's what he invested in. He invested into the passion for what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
If you're just going on it to wing it and just to try and have a bit of fun, there is no fun to be had. Let me put that out there to anyone.
It doesn't look
fun. Well, you make new friends, I guess.
Have you made any friends? Is that true? Have you made friends? Have you stayed friends?
In fairness, one thing you will get from it, if you use it wisely, there'll be a number of people who are in it for the wrong reasons, i.e. TV, so you park them and put them to one side. But the people who share your mindset, they want to create something of their own. What you'll actually realise if you're smart about it is I know where my strengths and I know where my weaknesses, and some of the things I'm not great at is designing, branding and things. So one of the people in my year actually helped me when I started my business to put together some certain brands and marketing bits. So you can use it as an extended network. So if you tap into the Apprentice alumni and you're smart about it, there's actually a lot of people around you that can help you and you can help them.
Oh, wow.
See, Lucy, there we go. I knew this is why I was keeping you on as a friend. Eventually you can help me out.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
So don't forget, you only need friendships with Wiki if they're going to get something out of it. That's how I firmly believe that.
I always say they're always two ways. So
Wiki, just very quickly then before we let you go, and get on with, you know, making Lord Sugar some money and yourself. You, what advice would you give to somebody listening to this then, if they've got a plan and they're thinking, but I don't want to go on TV? Or likewise, if somebody's listening to this and they think, I just want to get on TV and I'm going to go on The Apprentice.
I think if you want to get on TV, you won't win the thing.
Go on, Geordie Shore.
And it will come across that you'll want to be on TV and you're there for the wrong reasons. And the blunt reality is, gone are the days of any real TV programmes kind of launching a career, particularly one that's a business-orientated process. It's on the BBC. It's a business underlying process. If you want to be on TV and try and make something of it, go on a different show. It's not the thing to do. It's just pointless.
Yeah.
But for someone who's got an idea, I didn't know how to get my business off the ground, and I just kind of, I remember sitting there watching The Apprentice, and they mentioned, oh, we're looking for auditions for next year, and I just thought, why not? One thing I think people should do when they're looking to set up a company is stop having a bag full of excuses. No money, no time, no this, bad economy, or whatever it is. Just go and do it, and do you know what? Take a chance. I applied to The Apprentice. It could have blown up in my face. I could have looked terrible on the process. I might not have won it. I might have lost credibility.
It could have failed.
You know, exactly, yeah. That. But do you know what? I gave it a go, and it worked for me. And if it didn't work, I'd have tried something else and else. Anyone who's successful in business, and I'd like to hope one day I can claim that, but everybody has to make mistakes, and everybody has to have rejection, and everybody has to not get what they want at times, and I certainly haven't, and go for it. I think that's my advice. Go for it.
There you go, Lucy. Yeah. Everybody has to have rejection. That's what I've taken from that.
I've had
every
lot
rejection
of
is a redirection. That's what everyone says.
There you go. And on that note, Ricky Mertin, thanks so much for taking the time out and telling us what it's really like to work with Short Lord Sugar, and truly live, you were living the vida loca.
Absolutely.
You really are living the dream.
Ricky, thanks so much for being on Luke and Lucy FM.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Lucy, that's it. Are you going to go on The Apprentice then?
Yes, I think I am.
Do you think so?
I think I can win it, and I can be a millionaire.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm confident. I think you will be.
I'm confident as
well, Lucy. Although, actually, I think more than likely, Lord Sugar will have two words for you, and the second word isn't hired.
Fired.
Yeah. That's probably
I think Lord Sugar would love me.
Yeah.
He would hire me in a heartbeat.
Something like that. Thank you so much for listening to Luke and Lucy FM this week. If you have enjoyed it, please do leave us an iTunes review. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. Pop us across your thoughts. Let us know what you think. Or tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. And don't forget to subscribe via Audioboom as well. Audioboom.com/channel/Luke and Lucy FM. You know, I was just thinking as well, Lucy, like, you know, eventually when you become a boss, you'll be able to say the words, won't you practice you're hired. So do your thing, do your finger.
What, say, you're hired. You're hired.
Oh, God.
You've just listened to Luke and Lucy FM. Why not listen to it all over again? Oh, and please, leave us a review on iTunes. Pretty please.